It's Friday, December 26, 2008, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and to all the listeners in Canada, the United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand, and other places that celebrate, happy Boxing Day. And for those Americans who don't understand what I'm talking about, Boxing Day is the day after Christmas, which is traditionally assigned for the boss to give a present to the worker, kinda. You can look it up on Wikipedia, probably get a better explanation than that, but that's pretty much it. So happy Boxing Day to everyone out there. For today's Daily Audio Stash, we're going to begin the countdown to the end of 2008 with some best ofs. And for today, we're visiting with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com, who's got his top 10 lists up for 2008 for the top 10 news events, top 10 bus, top 10 songs, and top 10 movies of 2008 for the cannabis community. It's going to be a two-part interview, so we'll play the first part there, then we'll give you a musical break, and then the second part of the Steve Bloom interview today on your Daily Audio Stash. Coming up in next week, for the first 3 days, we've got the 29th, 30th, and 31st of December to deal with, so I'll be bringing you some of my favorite things from the Normal Daily Audio Stash for the past year, including some of my favorite stupid stoner stories, my favorite reefer madness stories, and some of the best research that's come out over the past year in the cannabis community. We're winding down the end of 2008, so get yourself your favorite holiday cheer and enjoy your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. New Massachusetts decrim law could thwart drug testing. From the Boston Herald. A voter-approved law reducing possession of small amounts of marijuana to a civil offense threatens to unravel drug testing of police and other public employees, the Herald has learned. The law, which goes into effect January 2nd, prohibits government agencies and authorities from enforcing any punishment for pot possession with a fine greater than $100, according to the Massachusetts Police Chiefs Association, and defines possession so broadly as to include traces of pot in blood, to urine, to hair, and fingernails. Jack Collins, an attorney for the Massachusetts Police Chiefs Association, said, quote, "This very much threatens to undermine our ability to do the drug testing we do," end quote. Collins is calling for police departments to stop drug testing certain employees until the legislature can explicitly allow public employees who fail drug tests to be punished. Without swift action, police departments and other agencies face lawsuits from unions protecting their members, Collins said. He warned, quote, "At this point, it looks like a violation of their rights, and then there'd be a lawsuit, and it would cost thousands of dollars," end quote. Berkshire District Attorney Dave Capeless predicted the new law has far-reaching consequences for even school bus drivers and MBTA train operators, who could point to the law and say they can only be fined, not fired, for marijuana offenses. Capeless warned, quote, "People given the critical job of looking after children or the general public, there's a greater risk now they could be high," end quote. Here's an idea, Massachusetts. How about testing your cops, bus drivers, and train operators for impairment rather than the presence of inactive, non-impairing THC-COOH metabolites? Look, you can still drug test for cocaine, meth, heroin, PCP, alcohol, and other hard drugs, right? Aren't those the kind of drugs, the use of which by cops, drivers, and conductors, that should really scare you? Somehow, the entrance of a couple of on-duty Boston cops into a pub to drink a couple of beers doesn't freak anybody out, but the thought of them smoking a joint on the weekend off-duty does? Yes, the new Massachusetts law does reduce the penalty for possession of cannabis, whether it's actual cannabis in your jeans pocket or inactive cannabis metabolites in your body, to no greater than a $100 fine. It doesn't change a thing about being impaired by drugs on the job. So what you need to do now is invest in impairment detection technology so you can suspend the cop, the driver, or the conductor whose eyes can't follow the little moving light due to any impairment factor, drugs, fatigue, injury, illness, or drowsiness. But therein lies the rub. Most of these industries don't really want to detect impairment on the job. Too many managers like to add that martini to the business lunch. Too many critical workers wouldn't force themselves to work sick when the impairment detector is going to root them out for a head full of Sudafed. Far too many workers don't get enough sleep and barely get by with Starbucks or Red Bull. If we truly weeded out, pardon the pun, all the workers who'd be more impaired than a healthy, alert weekend joint smoker, it would financially cripple most industries. Don't believe the hype. Workplace drug testing has very little to do with impairment and everything to do with extrajudicial law enforcement and cultural legislation of morality. Growing marijuana with government money. A conversation with Mahmoud El-Soli from the New York Times. Question: what exactly does the Marijuana Project do? Answer: though cannabis has been used by man for thousands of years, it wasn't until 1964 that the actual chemical structure of the active ingredient, tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, was determined. That stimulated new research on the plant. At this laboratory, which began in 1968, we often investigate marijuana's chemistry. We also have a farm where we grow cannabis for federally approved researchers. Our material is employed in clinical studies around the country to see if the active ingredient in this plant is useful for pain, nausea, glaucoma, for AIDS patients, and so on. For these tests, researchers need standardized material for cigarettes or THC pills. We grow the cannabis as contractors for the National Institute on Drug Abuse, or NIDA. And the only researchers who can get our material are those with special permits. We have visitors at the building now and then who ask, oh, do you give samples? And we say no. Interestingly, research led us to see that there was only one species of cannabis. It had always been thought that there were many. But you could see that the chemistry of this plant is the same qualitatively, no matter where it comes from. What makes each different is the relative proportion of the different chemicals in there, which doesn't make a different species. It's really the same species, but different varieties of it. The different types of varieties hybridize very easily. Question: do your neighbors ever kid you about your job? Answer: my daughters, when they were in grade school, the teachers would ask them, "What does your father do?" And they'd say, "He grows marijuana." And the teacher's eyes would grow wide. After a while, my daughters said, "He works at the University of Mississippi. He's a professor." One troubling part of this interview is when Dr. Elsoli discusses the ability to genetically modify cannabis and how black market growers have been doing this for years to increase potency. And yet, when I speak with LV Musica or Irv Rosenfeld, two of the federal patients who get their medicine from Dr. Elsoli's farm, they tell me this is very low quality cannabis. Why aren't these patients getting the benefit from all this federal money and research? A cynic might think you want to give federal patients bad pot, lest the public learn how much good quality cannabis can help these people. I'm also intrigued that cannabis is cannabis, that these different strains are just different ratios of cannabinoids in the same species of plant. We always get teased by the general public about the names of strains, that because they're called Medicine Woman or AK-47 or Alaskan Thunderfuck, they can't really be medicine. If I may butcher Shakespeare, a bud by any other name will still smoke as sweet. What's in a name? Have you caught some of these pharmaceutical names lately? Celebrex. What exactly are we celebrating with Celebrex? Or is it made from celery? Rosarum. Does that come from roses or does it make your skin rosy? Lunesta. Is that a Mexican nap taken at midnight? Actually, yes it is, sorta. Are the names of cannabis medicines not valid because they're not Madison Avenue approved pseudoscientific brand names with a Latin prefix or an X or a Z in them? Did you know that the generic name for the boner pill Cialis is Tadalafil? Ta-da! It's filled! We'd love for cannabis varieties to have some sort of scientific-sounding ad-friendly name, but you won't let us grow it or sell it or test it legally. So dedicated outlaw growers played backwoods Gregor Mendels and came up with brand names that would do well on the black market. When you don't have the benefit of multimedia branding campaigns and must rely only on word of mouth, and when the prohibited market demands high-potency product, Alaskan Thunderfuck sells more baggies than Cannabizex. If cannabis were legal, I think it would still have brand names like Afghani or Jack Herer or Bubblegum. But I think like fertilizer, it would also have a standardized ratio of THC, CBD, CBN, and CBL printed on every bag.
Stupid Stoner Stories.
As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Story.
Pot deal text message sent accidentally to cop leads to arrests. From the Tyler Morning Telegraph, Longview, Texas.
A text message to a Longview police officer led to 24-year-old man and a 19-year-old woman being arrested and charged with possession of marijuana. Officer Jason Hampton received a text message from Sam about 2:15 p.m. Tuesday, quote, in reference to a drug deal, end quote, according to a news release from the Longview Police Department. The news release stated, quote, it was apparent that Sam sent the message to the wrong phone number. Officer Hampton, who was off duty, contacted dispatch and advised them of the situation, end quote. According to the news release, the officer set up a meeting with Sam at a Chase Bank on West Loop 281. When Sam arrived to meet Hampton, officers found a bag containing 4.495 ounces of marijuana inside the vehicle, according to the news release. The news release stated that the driver, Samuel Odom, and the passenger, Sarah Gillette, were arrested and taken to the Greg County Jail. Both were charged with possession of marijuana.
Okay, kids, gather round old Uncle Russ for another dose of common sense for cannabis consumers. Lesson number one, cannabis is illegal. If the man catches you buying it, selling it, transporting it, possessing it, growing it, or smoking it, he will put you in a cage. Lesson number two, when you are doing illegal things, it is best to not have any record of it. That would include videotaping, audio taping, photographs, blog posts, cell phone conversations that can oh so easily be listened into with scanners, and for Cheech and Chong's sake, that most definitely includes text messaging. In fact, if you're smart, you won't even bring your cell phone with you when you make a pickup because that phone's location can be triangulated even when you're not using it, even when it is not turned on. Lesson number three. If you are going to be communicating with someone regarding cannabis using your own cell phone, despite the fact its call log and contact info can be subpoenaed, it's best to not use your real name, Sam.
Hey there, Stashers. How would you like to win a 6-night trip to the most cannabis-friendly spot on Earth? That's right, a trip to Amsterdam for four, sponsored by the Normal Foundation. It's an exciting new fundraiser for our organization, partnering with Win for Charity to help us raise money so we can provide programs and services to normal members like you. Win for Charity is an online hosting solution for charitable organizations that allows us to harness the power of the internet to increase our fundraising ability. How do you win? Simple. Just go to www.winforcharity.com/normal. That's win, the number four, charity.com/NORML. Click your buy ticket now button, then just select normal as your charity. The vacation package includes 6 nights in an Amsterdam city hotel, including breakfast, entrance to the Rijksmuseum, and a canal bus day pass, round-trip airfare, private transfers from airport to hotel and hotel to airport, a full-day tour to Delft, The Hague, and Madurodam, and a full-day tour to the Windmills and Volendam. Get your tickets now at winforcharity.com/normal. Your ticket helps to support our organization, and you could win 6 nights in Amsterdam. Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news. Well, here it is, the day after Christmas, and this would be our final visit of 2008 with CelebStoner.com Steve Bloom. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Russ. How are you? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too. So this is our big year end. I guess this would be the 2008 Celeb Stoner year in review. You've been kind of going through all the posts from the past 12 months and figuring out which ones were the most significant to the cannabis community. I understand you've made a bunch of different lists here. Which one do you want to start with?
Well, maybe you want to start with stories of the year.
Yeah, let's go with the stories of the year. What do you think in the top 10 that you've blogged on there at Celeb Stoner?
Well, number one is obviously Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Elected president. That's been talked about, you know, a lot, so we probably have to go into a lot of detail over that. Probably all the stories on the list here we've talked about throughout the year. But, you know, Obama, you know, being the biggest story in general, you know, and
sure,
the biggest story in particular, you know, at Celeb Stoner, just probably the biggest story at most every website this year. It's the biggest story of the century, practically, you know, at least of the 21st century so far, that, you know, we have a new president who is of mixed racial background and who smoked marijuana and the other drugs, and, you know, hopefully will change some of the laws in our favor down the road.
Excellent, excellent. In as far as cannabis community go here, you've got the number two one is definitely one that is going to be on our list that probably won't be on other people's lists.
Well, number two is Cheech and Chong having their reunion. So remember, Celeb Stoner focuses on entertainment as well as news, and so this list will sort of switch back and forth between entertainment stories and sort of news-oriented stories. In the case of Cheech and Chong, it's kind of been a huge year for them. It took them 27 years to get back together on the stage to perform their old comedy material from the 70s. They hadn't done it in that long. They really had been estranged and had not performed together, really had not spent much time together, certainly had not made any more movies or albums. And now they're finally back out on the road. Light Up America Tour is continuing through March, and it's doing very well. There's been other things happening. There's been an animated movie announced that's going to be focused around their comedy albums. And most likely they'll be announcing a movie sometime later this year. So there was a Cheech and Chong roast on television. So it's been a really great year for them.
Absolutely. Now, the number one story was political, and we also have three other political stories here. Number three, Massachusetts decrims marijuana. Number five, Michigan gets medical marijuana. And number nine, Barney Frank's bill. So three political stories having to do specifically with cannabis this year.
Well, it has been a huge year for marijuana policy reform. Massachusetts decriminalizing marijuana back in November was huge. It was a 65% vote in favor. Massachusetts became the 13th state ever to decriminalize marijuana. It was the first state to do so since 1979. Mm. I really consider that a bigger news than number five on the list, Michigan votes for medical marijuana, which made Michigan the 13th state. It's bigger news only because decrim is sort of a decriminalization is for everybody,
yeah.
And medical marijuana is for patients. So in both cases, they're significant, but we've seen a lot of states amend their laws in favor of medical marijuana.
Sure, sure.
We haven't seen one change their laws in terms of decrim in, you know, almost 30 years. So
yeah.
Both those stories are huge. And Barney Frank, he has a bill that he's that hopefully is going to be voted on this year. His Personal Use of Marijuana for Responsible Adults Act, which would decriminalize the possession of almost 4 ounces or a quarter pound of marijuana. So it's a large amount, and you know, he's looking for bipartisan support, and you know, hopefully we'll see a vote on it in 2009. And also in the category of marijuana news stories, it was announced earlier this year that New York City, where I live, is the marijuana arrest capital of the world. Nearly 400,000 people have been arrested in New York since 1997. So that was pretty staggering. Those of us who've lived here know what's been going on during the time that Giuliani was mayor and continued during the Bloomberg era. You know, it's pretty easy to get arrested for pot in New York. You have to be very careful, especially as you walk the streets and, you know, but we didn't realize there were so many people being arrested. Of course, that's maybe half the total, 400,000, half the total of just, you know, 1 year overall for the nation of marijuana arrests, but still a staggering number.
Yeah.
And also, you know, marijuana celebrations, the 420 celebrations made number eight on our list, just because there's such a, you know, unique form of a protest. You know, you could put the Seattle Hemp Fest and Boston Freedom Rally and a few other events on that list, but those are sort of yearly events that kind of stay the same. The 420 celebrations have been growing, and also they've been challenging campus administrations, especially in California and Santa Cruz, where over 10,000 people showed up against the, you know, the administration's will. They tried to ban the whole event. In Boulder, where they had a huge turnout a couple of years ago, they had police there taking pictures of everybody and trying to, you know, arrest, you know, people based on that. And they haven't done that anymore, so things have sort of lightened up a little bit in Boulder. And then, you know, the rest of the list is entertainment. Pineapple Express is number four. It's the biggest selling stoner movie in, you know, pretty much probably since Up in Smoke.
Yeah.
Did $87 million at the box office, which is around five times the average number of most stoner movies make. Most stoner movies make their money in DVD sales. Pineapple Express is raging, you know, has made their money at the box office, and also the movie's coming out first week of January as a DVD, so I'm sure it'll be, you know, another round of excitement and interest. Pineapple Express stars Seth Rogen and James Franco. Franco has been nominated for a Golden Globe for his Saul character, who's a
yeah.
kind of like a just a fun-loving dealer. and Seth and Franco get involved in a caper that kind of gets a little violent towards the end. It's a lot of fun. It's an action stoner movie. And Weeds had its sixth season this year. It's fourth season this year. It's number six on our list, and considered that important, just that Weeds, you know, has, you know, gotten more and more popular mm-hmm. as time has gone on. It's, you know, the one TV show where stoners can go to, you know, sort of see what, you know, television is saying about us.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of marijuana on television throughout the year, be it shows like Entourage and Sarah Silverman Program, Bill Maher, and so on and so forth, but Weeds is kind of the standout. So those are our, and the last story on the list, number 10, is the Rime of Ancient Marijuana, the 27-year-old stash, which I just thought was such a great story this year, where ancient stash of marijuana was found in a Chinese tomb, and it was concluded that it was marijuana, and not only marijuana, but good shit.
And
I thought that was really interesting, a little bit of an offbeat story, but really important as far as the history of marijuana going back that far.
Yeah, I guess that's pot 0.1.
Yeah,
if
right.
We go by the drug czar.
Right, exactly.
Now, you have some other areas in celeb stoner news that you've been keeping track of for 2008. I'm sure sports is on the list. You probably have 10 stories on the NFL alone.
Well, they fit into the drug bust category, the top 10 drug busts of 2008. Number three, everybody is one person, but because there were so many arrests in the NFL this year, there were 8 different NFL players arrested for marijuana or cocaine, 7 for marijuana, 1 for cocaine, that they're sort of grouped together as one, you know, it's like they would eat up the whole list.
The NFL came in third.
Yeah, the NFL came in third in general. There were so many arrests in the NFL. The list starts with Lil Wayne, who was arrested, had a bus search, and he's probably having maybe the best year of anyone in the music world this year with his latest album and, you know, big sales and, you know, a lot of interest in him. And, you know, the police seem to be very interested in him as well. He's kind of taken over for where Snoop Dogg has left off and getting busted on a bus with almost a quarter pound of pot, coke, ecstasy, cash, and guns. He's also facing charges in New York on a previous bus, and that's still pending. Snoop Dogg is number two in that category because Snoop Dogg had two legal altercations last year, one time in New York. As we were talking about people getting arrested in New York, he got ticketed for kind of standing outside a club smoking. Most people would have gotten arrested. He didn't. And then later in the year, his bus was searched, and several people on the bus were arrested after marijuana was confiscated, but Snoop Dogg was not arrested. That list goes on to include Amy Winehouse, got arrested for smoking crack on a video.
Yeah.
The charges were dismissed. Rod White, Tater Salad White, the blue-collar comic, he got arrested just stepping off a plane in Vero Beach, Florida. He had a couple of grams of weed and a pipe. He was knocked out by a former pilot. Apparently, Rod likes to smoke out on private planes, and this former pilot who fired him because he was mad at Ron for, I guess, compromising him up in the air, ended up tipping off the police. Sports arrest was in the NBA. Joaquin Noah, he was arrested in Florida for a joint, and he paid a fine. A few more hip hop arrests arrests. Juvenile and Jay Holiday and Aaron Carter all arrested on small possession of marijuana charges, all in car searches. Aaron Carter, the pop star, spent a day in jail in Texas. And lastly, we have Andy Dick, who had a fairly embarrassing arrest. He got drunk, and he attempted to pull down the top of a woman who he was chatting with, and he was charged with sexual battery. And they also found him with marijuana and Xanax. He's already been sentenced to probation, and he's got an alcohol monitor on him. So those are our top 10 marijuana busts of the year.
So it sounds like if it were a competition, sports beat out entertainment this year.
It's side by side. I would say it's kind of hip hop, you know, versus
versus the NFL.
You know, you look at like Lil Wayne, Snoop Dogg, Juvenile, you know, Jay Holiday. You have a lot of the musicians versus the who gets arrested more, you know, celebrity musicians or celebrity, you know, athletes.
Yeah,
half and half.
I understand. Well, Steve, stick with us. I want to get your top 10 in movies and in music, but we're going to take our musical break first, and we'll be right back with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. It's the top 10 of 2008.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, The A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. It's difficult sometimes coming up with music every day for the Stash. When I'm stuck without a tune, I will often just go to various music sites on the web and type in pot or ganja or marijuana just to see what comes up. So today I typed in grass and I found a band called The Grassmasters. Aha, I thought, a treasure trove of grass-related music. Turns out, though, that they're referring to bluegrass, the music, not grass, the herb. But having known a few bluegrass musicians in my time to be fond of the other kind of grass, I dug deeper, and I'm glad I did. The Grassmasters are a bluegrass band that covers other styles of music as bluegrass. They've got bluegrass Bob Marley, bluegrass Simon and Garfunkel, bluegrass Johnny Cash, bluegrass Aerosmith, and even bluegrass Grateful Dead. Who knows? Maybe someday they'll cover some bluegrass Cottonmouth Kings. There were plenty of tunes I could have chosen, but I think Paint It Black by the Rolling Stones will do for today. I mean, we've got grass and the Stones. How much more cannabis-friendly can we get? This is the Grassmasters from their album Stones Grass, with Paint It Black.
Thank you. Obama has been elected the 44th President of the United States. But will he bring us, the cannabis community,
the change we can believe in?
It's an issue of doctors prescribing medical marijuana. I think that should be appropriate.
Normal is asking you to take action and help us hold President-elect Obama to his word with our $10,000 pro-cannabis law reform ad contest.
When I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Just make a 30 or 60 second video or flash animation that answers the question, what should President Obama do about pot? You can submit as many entries as you like, and winning videos will be featured on Normal's website and television campaigns.
What I'm not going to be doing is using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue.
The grand prize is $3,500, so enter early and enter often.
I would not punish doctors if it's prescribed. That may require some changes in federal law.
Contest deadline is January 15, 2009. Check norml.org for official contest rules.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama, we couldn't agree more.
Want to thank Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com for hanging on with us, and we're going over the top tens for 2008. So what other categories are you keeping track of for your top ten list for 2008?
Well, we have High Tunes, which is the musical clips that we post up on CelebStoner during the year. Most of them are in the form of YouTube clips. Some of them are in the form of MP3s. It depends sort of what's available and also what comes to us. So the top of that list is our favorite song of the year is My Medicine, which is Snoop Dogg's song.
Right.
Which is his sort of country song, his ode, as he said, to Johnny Cash. And it turns out Willie Nelson joins him on that. And that was recorded in Amsterdam. And Willie and Snoop were both there. I'm not sure if that was intentional, but they were both in town. And they ended up performing with each other live at their individual shows, their respective shows at the Milkveg there. And My Medicine was recorded there. And it's sort of gone a little bit under the radar, but it really is a great medical marijuana song. And it's really the first time Snoop Dogg has sang about his love of marijuana. He kind of masks it as, you know, as a medical user, and that's pretty much what he said when he's done some interviews this year, that it's all about medicine for him now. And he says, I got that medicine prescription, medicine baby. Mm-hmm. And they say, you can buy me love, but you sure can buy me bud. So, you know, it's pretty funny, and of course he's sort of leading the way. And number two song in that category is Kid Rock's All Summer Long. Now, that has that line where we were smoking funny things. It's kind of a nostalgic story about, you know, with that, you know, song that kind of combines, Sweet Home Alabama, and Werewolf of London.
It's
kind of a mashup song. And so it was kind of cool. The fact that he mentions that, it was the biggest song of the year where there was a mention of marijuana.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Tom Petty song a few years back, you know, where, let's get to the point, smoke another joint. It was just one line that really stood out, and it was a song that, you know, was played over and over again. So it kind of gives Kid Rock a little credit for referring to marijuana in his song. Number three is the artist Swayze, song Buzzin', which is a real fun song with Cisco Adler. It's just, you know, it's just more like a fun stoner song without too many references, but there is the line, I don't know what she was on, whatever it was, I want some. And they have their show, the Buzzin' Show is on MTV, and Cisco Adler, by the way, was recently arrested on tour. He didn't make the list, because it wasn't a marijuana arrest, but he was arrested, getting into a fight in a bar, while Swayze and Cisco are on tour. Devin the Dude made number four, I Can't Make It Home. That's basically about getting arrested. You know, it's got that nice, chorus that goes, one blunt, one more shot of Patron, cops right behind me, I might be gone, I can't make it home. So it's a little tale of getting busted and being, you know, hassled by police. Who's got the weed? G-Love and Special Sauce. G-Love's, you know, probably a favorite of a lot of listeners out there. He's been, you know, performing for 15 or more years. And he had a song this year, Who's Got the Weed? And it's just the homegrown from the backyard. Keep it in my pocket if I go to the bar. So if you want a hit, just buy me a drink. Don't worry, I got more of that funky green shit. Kind of a takeoff on a Cypress Hill song, the funky green shit. And And that was a little under the radar, but I don't know if people really caught on to that song so much. But he's been an advocate for a while, and he finally came up with his own song. Everybody's favorite stoner band, the Cottonmouth Kings, came out with yet another album this year, the Green Album.
Yeah.
You could kind of choose probably 10 songs off that album that would fit this list. But the one that they released as a single is Pack Your Balls. Pretty standard. Pack Your Balls, Let's Get Stoned as we head on down the road. Another rock band that we're a fan of here, Sleb Stoner, Do You Want Rose Hill Drive, the Boulder Power Trio, had a song called Do You Want to Get High. They were really an excellent group, and I think people should kind of get into them. Number 8 on our list is Slightly Stupid. Their song 2 AM, which actually was released year before last, but got played this year. That's also a bust song. I'm holding all the trees and I got the weed. They be spotting me with infrared. I'm in the mood. Who the hell is you? And they're kind of, you know, about to get busted. As it turns out, Slightly Stupid did get nearly busted at the U.S.-Canadian border just a few months ago and had all their weed and paraphernalia confiscated. So the song kind of like lived up to its, to real life for that.
Yeah.
And then the Black Crowes, one of the longtime stoner bands we've been following, you know, since the 90s. They had their first album in quite a while, and Goodnight Daughters of the Revolution features the one line, I can roll you one from an empty bag. That's Chris Robinson singing, and Chris Robinson also, in performing this year, was wearing a big pot leaf patch on his pants, so he was, you know, sort of wearing the freak flag as he has in the past. And number 10 is another artist from Suburban Noise, the Cottonmouth Kings label, Dirtball.
Oh, yeah.
Really neat, unique song this year called Mushroom Cloud. I want to take you on Mushroom Cloud and we'll fly away. And the video shows him, you know, opening up a drawer, grabbing a bag of real mushrooms and chomping. So I think it was kind of the first live use of mushrooms on a video that I've seen.
Oh, yeah. Dirtball's my homie here from Bend, Oregon, actually.
Yeah. It was very good. It's a really fun song. So those are our top 10. So pretty much all of them are weed oriented except for the Dirtball song, which is a mushroom song.
Yeah.
And so that's our song list, and we have one more.
Yeah.
And the last list is the movie list.
It was a great year.
The top 10 movies?
Great year for stoner movies, absolutely.
It really has been a great year for stoner movies. I mean, to the tune of $134 million spent on, you know, at the box office for at least the, sort of the five major stoner movies this year. There's some that really didn't get probably a lot of people didn't see, you know, so much at the theater and probably end up watching on DVD soon, but the two big ones of the year were number 1, Pineapple Express,
which we
already discussed, and number 2, Harold and Kumar, Escape from Guantanamo Bay, which is the sequel to Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. And actually, this movie did better than the first one. The first one did about $18 million. This one did about $38 million at the box office. And this one was a little more political, where the Harold and Kumar guys get into trouble, end up in jail, and have to escape. And they get into trouble because of racial profiling to begin with, in an airport. And then Cal Penn's character, Kumar, smoking a bong on a plane, and somebody thinking it's a bomb, not a bong. And sort of hilarity ensues, you know, from that point on in the movie. But the best part of that movie is this, it's a pretty raunchy movie, but the best part of the movie is when they end up flying, dropping down parachutes into the Bush, Western White House, and they end up hanging out with George W. smoking, and he offers them coke as well. It's very funny.
Oh, yeah.
Number 3 is The Wackness. The Wackness is, I'm looking at a previous version of this list. Number 3 is Super Jaime.
Mm.
Doug Benson's also hilarious film this year. That's not one that did, you know, great at the box office. That's a DVD release in particular that, you know, people should kind of go out and get. And it's Doug Benson, the comedian, getting high for 30 days and recording everything that goes on with him physically and mentally. And he had not smoked for the previous 30 days to clean out, and then smokes, you know, fairly nonstop for the next 30 days. And he goes to doctors and all this kind of stuff. It's very interesting. You know, as you would anticipate, you know, the results are very positive. They didn't tell him that he should stop smoking or somehow or other going to harm him. Also, what goes on in that movie, they follow the DEA cracking down on a medical dispensary, one particular dispensary in California. So in addition to it being a funny movie, it's also kind of a serious movie that focuses on the medical marijuana issue.
Yeah.
Number 4 is The Wackness, sort of a lighthearted movie set in New York. That movie did about 2.2 at the box office million, so it wasn't a big seller, but they got a big push, and it was, you know, it was a nice movie set in 1994 New York. The character, played by Josh Peck, is a pot dealer, and you sort of follow him around in his life, and his, one of his main clients, is played by Ben Kingsley, who's a shrink, and he basically goes to the shrink to, you know, have his session, a psychologist or psychiatrist, and he pays in weed.
Yeah.
So Josh pays in weed, Josh Peck's character, and it was really fun to see. And Kingsley smoke, he does a bunch of bong hits, and it's a very smart movie with a coming-of-age story. It's a little wacky, and it's fun. The Wackness is a little wacky. Number four, Humboldt County.
A little bit
of a controversial movie in the sense that it was set in Humboldt County, and it seems like the people that I've been, you know, hearing from live out there, sort of in the marijuana media, don't seem to like the movie, though. I think it really did a nice job of encapsulating the lifestyle of that community of marijuana growers that's so well known in the Humboldt County area. And it's a story about one guy who ends up there and has to sort of figure things out. He's a little bit, you know, sort of a straight-laced guy who ends up, you know, getting involved in the scene there, you know, sort of against his wishes a little bit. And you kind of get, you know, a look into, you know, the county's cannabis history and its sort of eccentric characters. It was a very nicely done
movie. Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
And then the list continues with Rachel getting, with Smiley Face, which was, you know, really cool. The really cool thing about Smiley Face, I'd have to say, is, it's a little movie that could, Anna Faris stars in that movie, and it's really one of the few movies that focuses, stoner movies focuses on a female lead character, and so it's really all about her. She eats a tray of hot cupcakes, in the morning, and then you sort of see her life as she goes on throughout the day, and it's really kind of a funny offbeat story set in Los Angeles, and if you're a fan of Anna Faris, definitely a fun movie to watch. She also was in a movie, The House Bunny, this year, so she had a pretty good year. Rachel Getting Married has another female lead story. This is a little different. Anne Hathaway plays the character Kim, who gets out of rehab and goes to her sister's wedding, and kind of all kinds of conflicts come to the surface, you know, how things happen in family get-togethers, resentments and issues that go back, and in the case, there's a family trauma that kind of is being dealt with, you know, throughout the weekend of the wedding. And it's a great performance by Anne Hathaway. She'll most likely get an Oscar nomination for it. It's really good. There's not really drugs in the movie, but it's sort of about the idea of somebody coming out of rehab and kind of getting back into normal life. And number eight on the list was The American Drug War, the hard-hitting documentary by Kevin Booth that actually came out in 2007 but had a long run on Showtime this year. So pretty much people have most likely seen the movie in 2008, even though it came out in DVD in 2007. And it basically focuses on the drug war, the CIA, crack kingpins like Ricky Ross, and, you know, just pretty much a wholesale indictment of the drug war. It's really well done, and it's done in a very personal way with Booth doing all the narrative. Number nine is Garden Party, which is another offbeat movie set in Los Angeles, a bunch of, you know, unusual characters getting together, and it's kind of the main character is a pot-growing female realtor. So there's another female character that smokes marijuana this year in the movies. And then there's just some, like, a lot of 20-somethings trying to figure out their lives in L.A. And that's out on DVD now. And then last on that list is Strange Wilderness, sort of the latest stoner effort from Adam Sandler's Happy Madison Productions Company. They're responsible for Grandma's Boy. And so it's, you know, Grandma's Boy was, you know, starred Alan Covert, and Alan Covert appears in this movie. He's not the star. Steve Zahn is. It's about a animal wildlife show or a nature show that is about to go off the air, and they have to find something that's going to give them ratings, so they go off in search of Bigfoot. And there's a lot of really cool characters in the movie, actors, Jonah Hill, Justin Long, Peter Dante, who played the dealer in Grandma's Boy, Kevin Heffernan, who was in Super Troopers, and a few other cool characters, but movie doesn't really hold up. It did 6.6 million at the box office, but it's not as funny as they hoped it would be. But there's a lot of, you know, there's a bunch of weed in that movie too. So that, you know, that made the list. So that's our top 10.
Wow. Now, speaking of all these different top 10 lists that are going on, I caught your co-author of Pot Culture, Shirley Halperin, on one of the VH1 top 10 shows.
That's true. Yeah. The VH1 has its top 40 videos of the year, and Shirley was on there chatting about probably about 12 of her favorites, so it was great to see her. That they may be re-showing that throughout, you know, the end of the year, so people should catch it.
Yeah, we got this whole last week of the year. I'm sure it'll be replayed on VH1 endlessly, so look for Shirley Halperin, co-author of Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life, with our own Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. And Steve, happy holidays to you, and we'll talk to you again in 2009.
Yeah, Russ, thanks for everything. Thanks for all your great promotion of Celeb Stoner and Pot Culture throughout this year. I do appreciate it, and I look forward to spending more time with you on the air in 2009. Happy holidays to everybody.
Happy holidays to everybody out there.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with another one of our cannabis quotes. This one goes back to 1982, and Representative Newt Gingrich, believe it or not, who wrote to the Journal of the American Medical Association supporting medical marijuana. He said, quote, "We believe licensed physicians are competent to employ marijuana, and patients have a right to obtain marijuana legally under medical supervision from a regulated source. The medical prohibition does not prevent seriously ill patients from employing marijuana. It simply deprives them of medical supervision and denies them access to a regulated medical substance. Physicians are often forced to choose between their ethical responsibilities to the patient and their legal liability to federal bureaucrats."